Good evening, ladies. All of you ladies. You are all ladies, right? It's good to be here. This was kind of a last-minute thing. The pastor here called me, like, I don't know, it was 4 weeks ago, and he said, hey, you want to come to Texas? Our ladies are going to do your study this fall in the Sermon on the Mount, and we kind of thought it would be fun if you would come and introduce that to them. And I said, oh, sure, I'll come. So much of the meetings that I've done have been postponed till next year due to COVID, and so I said, sure, I'll come. It's a four-hour drive. So, but anyway, that's why I'm here, and I'm glad you're here. He was, I think we were a little bit surprised. We thought it would just be his ladies in his church, but he, I guess, promoted it quite a bit. So it's good to have you here, and tomorrow I will talk a little bit more about the books. There's a lot of some new materials that are out, and one that's pretty recent, and then one that is actually, I think, at the printer next week. So we have some people that are, I've written 13 Bible studies to date, and we have some people that are committed financially. They want to see those books published, so I think we're going to roll the rest of them out, so I can start writing more. So anyway, the Lord is gracious and faithful. But we are going to, I decided not to just speak on the Sermon on the Mount because that would steal the thunder for the ladies in this church that are going to be studying that. But I do want to talk to you about three very important things that I see are essential for not only you as a Christian woman and young lady, but also because of what is going on in our nation right now, because of what is going on in the Church of Jesus Christ, even things that I'm seeing that are concerning to me, especially because I do work with women, disciple women, counsel women, and what I'm seeing that is taking place. And so because of that, I told the pastor I wanted to speak on being a faithful woman in a faithless age, because we are living in an age that is going apostate. We are denying God. We are denying His Word. But we as women want to be faithful. And so our first session this evening is going to be being a faithful woman in a faithless age by being disciplined in the Word and prayer. This is something I'm very concerned about. As I travel around and meet women, there's very little discipline when it comes to time spent in God's Word and time spent in prayer. And so I want to talk to you about that this evening. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to be looking at being devoted, being faithful to God by being devoted to serving Him. And I have noticed something that's gone on since March, since COVID came into our nation, and that is that fear has gripped many women, and men too, but especially women. And there's a lot of challenges that have come with this pandemic, but ladies, God is still on His throne. And He has not, as far as I know, in the reading of the scriptures, He has not gone on record to say that during a pandemic, we quit serving Him. And I have some concerns about what I'm seeing, and we are to occupy until He comes. And so tomorrow we're going to talk about five truths that must be remembered, especially as we serve the Lord. And then I will do one session on the Sermon on the Mount, because I think that this is something that is very concerning to me, and that is the worry that I'm seeing. And so we're going to talk about needless worry and needful worship. And boy, if we don't need that, a lot of churches are closing down. In fact, my son-in-law's church this Sunday is their first Sunday to open up with just very few people. I think they're only allowed to have 80 people, and it's a very large church. But it's here in Texas, Houston, but not this area. But we need to be worshiping the Lord. We need to be together, and we need to put off this needless worry, right? And needful worship. So we're going to talk about that in our last session. So if you have an outline, I hope you do. If you don't, well, you can run back there and get one. But tonight we're going to talk about being faithful by disciplining yourself in the Word and prayer. So let's pray. We'll get started and ask for the Lord's help on our time together. Our Father, oh, what a great and glorious God You are. Thank You, Father, for drawing these specific women here this evening. I know that You have a divine plan for each of us. We know that You are divinely working in each of our lives, that you are providentially at work for a purpose, that there is something for each of us this weekend, and I pray that our hearts would be open and receptive to your voice, to the Holy Spirit. I pray, O God, that you would use these three messages and then even our time with the Q&A and our time of fellowship, Lord, to stimulate one another to love and to good works. Oh, Father, how we need to be doing this. And as your word says, even more as we see the day approaching. Lord, we know your word also says a man who isolates himself brings himself to destruction. And Father, we are seeing that in our nation. Men and women, youth, are isolating themselves due to this pandemic, and it is bringing them to destruction. I pray, O God, that we as your people would not give way to sinful fear. That, Lord, we would realize that we are to fear one person, and that is you, the one that can destroy our soul and body in hell, Lord. And that is the only one we are to fear. And I pray that, Father, this weekend that we would serve you with reverential fear, that we would pay attention to what is being said, and we would pay attention to that still small voice. So, Father, give grace. I'm sure many of these women, I know some have traveled, met a couple of ladies, traveled 5 hours today to come, and I don't know where these ladies are from. You do, but I pray that you'd give us listening grace to hear, and I pray you would give me teaching grace, and Lord, that we would leave here tonight saying, wasn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Wasn't it good to be together with like-minded sisters in Christ? And I ask this, Father, for your sake only and for your glory, that your name might be exalted. In Christ's name, amen. Well, when the Lord saved me over 34 years ago, he put an insatiable desire in my heart to know his word. And I know that happens to all of you. Each of you that have truly committed your life to the Lordship of Christ, I'm not unique. God promised in the new covenant that he would put his spirit within us and he would cause us to walk in his ways. And he takes that heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. Now, even though that desire was there over 34 years ago, wasn't there before then, even though I read my Bible every day, there was never really a desire to know God through his word. But after the Lord saved me, he put that desire in my heart. And even though that desire was there, I was unsure how to pursue knowing God through his word. I began to memorize books of the Bible because my husband, when I met him, had the whole New Testament memorized or most of it, and he thought that I should be doing that, and so he taught me his method. And so I began to do that, and I began to study God's word, and I began to see that this was one of the greatest joys of my life. As Jeremiah says, your words were found, and I ate them, and they became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Why? Because I am called by your name, O God. Now, as that happened, that process began to happen, and I began to see that as I studied God's word and memorized God's word, and I began to grow in my relationship with him, I wanted to pass this on to other women, ignite them with the desire, that flame that they hopefully would rekindle in their heart, and they would also have that desire. But I've noticed as I travel around, I meet a lot of women that struggle with daily discipline of Bible reading, study of God's word, memorization, and prayer. And you know what I hear most often? The most common excuse that I hear is, I don't have time, which equates, I won't make time. I won't make time. Why do I say that? Because we always find time to do what we really want to do, don't we? We always find time to do what we want to do. I'm amazed how many women can spend hours on recipe sites, you know, trying to find the perfect recipe to make for dinner that's going to be gobbled down in 5 minutes, you know, and then you're left with this massive mess in the kitchen. And, or you know, hours that they can spend Googling certain things. Social media. Somebody asked me a while ago, do you have any social media? I said, no, I don't, but I do have an Instagram account that our associate pastor's wife runs for me, but I don't have social media. But I know women that'll spend 2 to 4 hours a day on social media, but they won't spend 5 minutes with God. So all these activities that we can get ourselves involved in that take away meaningful time with the Lord. And then we go around wondering, why aren't we growing? Why am I still crawling around in my spiritual diapers? What's wrong with me? Why don't I have joy? Why don't I have peace? Why am I terrified of COVID? What is wrong with me? And more often, ladies, the fault lies with us. It lies with us. Now, having said that, I will say this. I've also met women, as I've traveled around, that really desire that. They want to be in God's Word. They want to study God's Word. They want to memorize God's Word, but they don't know how. They don't know how to have meaningful time in the Word and in prayer. And so with that in mind, I want to speak to you, as I said in our first session, regarding disciplining yourself in the Word and prayer. And I'm going to give you 10 important keys when the acrostic discipline. And for those of you that have listened to me teach much, you know mostly I do exegetical, but this will be more topical tonight, but tomorrow will be more exegetical. But I do think this is a very, very important topic. So they're in the acrostic discipline, and they're not in order, but I will give them to you as we go through each one. The foremost thing that you must do if you want to have meaningful time in the Word and prayer is you must have a desire. You must have a desire for the Word and a delight in the Word. A desire for the Word and a delight in the Word. Ladies, if you do not have a desire for the Word of God, you will never be disciplined in it. You won't. I remember when my daughter was growing up, she had an ability to play the piano. We had her take piano lessons. She was an excellent pianist, but she hated it. She hated playing the piano. And do you know when we finally said, okay, you don't have to do this anymore. We know you don't like it. Do you know what's happened? She just turned 40 in July, and do you know, to my knowledge, she has not touched a piano key since we told her as a young teenager that she didn't have to do it anymore. Why hasn't she played the piano? She has no desire. She had no desire. My friend, if you do not have a desire to know the Word of God or to talk to God in prayer, that is going to be a huge hindrance to you being disciplined in the Word of God. I remember talking to a girl I was discipling a couple of years ago, and I was asking her about her time in the Word, and I said, do you read the Word on a daily basis? And she said, yeah, I read it. And I said, do you enjoy it? And she said, no. And I thought, wow, you don't? And ladies, if you have no appetite for the Word of God, if you find no joy in the Word of God, then I would challenge you to make sure you're redeemed. Make sure you really know the author of the Word, of those 66 letters that you have. Examine yourself. Make sure you're really born again. You know, for 30 years, I read, well, not for 30 years, but for about 20 years, I read my Bible every day. But I had no desire for it. I did it because that's what pastors' daughters do. That's what pastors' wives do, right? We read our Bible every day. But I got nothing out of it. I just did it because that was what I was supposed to do. Secondly, I would encourage you to see if you have no desire for the Word of God, I would encourage you to see if there's sin in your life. You know, our brother Peter, he says in 1 Peter 2, therefore lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. And then he said, after you lay off all that sin, then as a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the Word, so that you can what? Grow thereby. And so, ladies, a lot of times we are hugging on to sin, life-dominating sins that we hug onto, and therefore we have no appetite for the Word of God. If you are nibbling at the things of this world, I can guarantee you have no appetite for the Word of God. You know, if I eat a big piece of cake or a big bowl of ice cream, I love ice cream. Brahms is the best. But, you know, if I eat a big piece of cake or a big bowl of ice cream before dinner, I'm not going to have much desire for, you know, salad and broccoli or any of that stuff, right? It takes away my appetite for a nutritional meal. Ladies, many of you are nibbling from things of this world. Maybe you're one of those that spends 2 to 6 hours a day on social media. If you're doing that, you're not going to have any appetite for the pure milk of the Word of God. Many are tasting other things. Therefore, God is not their delight. His Word is not their delight. He is their dread, not a delight. Secondly, if you desire to be disciplined, I said these weren't in order, but I think they are in order. Sorry about that. Idols must be put away. Idols must be put away. You know, it's interesting when God gave Ezekiel the promise of the new covenant, you know what part of it was? I will sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. From all your idols. You might say, Susan, I don't worship idols, you know. I don't have any idols in my home made of wood or stone or bronze or gold or silver. Ladies, an idol doesn't have to be a man-made image. An idol is something that you love more than God. That's an idol. What do you think about? What do you spend your time on? What do you spend your money on? What do you spend your energy on? If you were to look over this past week and look at every day, what did you do with your day, time, energy, and money, you would probably be able to discover what your idol is or if you have any idols. Ladies, we all have propensity to idolatry, and a good exercise to keep or to do is just keep a record of what you do during the week. In fact, often when women tell me, well, Susan, I just don't have time to spend in the Word. I just don't have time to do this. I don't have time to come to Bible study. So often an assignment I give is, you know, for the next week, why don't you keep a journal of what your day looks like? Now, you don't have to tell me when you go to the bathroom, but, you know, like from 8 to 10, what did you do? 10 to 12, 12 to what did your day look like? And, you know, it's very fascinating. A lot of these women will come back with their little journal of what they did that week, and it's pretty amazing to see where their time went. Ladies, those things are a revealer of idolatry. This past year, I turned 64 in February, and so that tells you what I'm going to be next February, 65. Time for Medicare. What? Medicare? That's ridiculous. Anyway, one of the gals I disciple, she's a professional golf instructor. She's an LPGA golf instructor. And so she said, I said, you know what I want for my birthday, Maggie? I said, I want you to give me a golf lesson. Because I met Maggie when my husband was playing golf and I wanted to be a better wife. So I went and took golf lessons and I used to share the Lord with her and she used to call me the Bible thumper. And then she became a Christian. Now I'm discipling her. We're great friends. She didn't become a Christian under my influence, but God in His mercy saved her. So anyway, I said, you know what I want? I want a golf lesson. So she said, okay. So I went over to where she teaches and we had a lesson. And I remember after I got done, I came back home and I sent her an email or a text and I said, oh man, I'm pumped. I really, you know, I'm getting the bug because I grew up playing softball and I've always liked sports and I played softball, I think since fourth grade. And, anyway, I don't play now, obviously, but I thought, oh man, this is going to be so much fun. And then I reined myself back in and I thought, Susan, you know how much time it takes to play a round of golf? Do you know how much money it does to take play golf? How much it costs? And then I thought, you know what? That could become an idol. That could become an idol. A God that would take away my loyalty away from the true God. Now, ladies, there's nothing wrong with playing golf. And I've gone out a few more times and during our discipling time just hit a few balls. And I may do that from time to time because I love to be outside. But I certainly was given caution after my golf lesson by the dear Holy Spirit of God that golf could become an idol that would steal away my devotion from Him. And I'm thankful that He gave me that check. The third thing you must do if you desire to have a disciplined time in the Word and in prayer is to spend ample time. Spend ample time. Ladies, you cannot be stingy with God. Was God stingy with you? God was not stingy with you. Do you know God allowed his son to be bruised on your behalf? So much so that Isaiah says it pleased the Father to bruise his son. Jesus poured out his blood for you. He wasn't stingy in his love for you, was he? True Bible study, in-depth Bible study, takes time. Serious prayer takes time. When I was growing up in a minister's home, we used to sing a hymn, "Take time to be holy." You know, it takes time. We can't just have, you know, read this verse, random verse, and do a popcorn call to God and think that we've had meaningful time with God. Ladies, we cannot get instant holiness, just like, you know, you want instant mashed potatoes, instant internet service, an instant pot. I still don't have an instant pot. Do you girls have an instant pot? I don't have one. A disciplined, godly life is not for the faint-hearted. It's really not. This means you might need to get up early or stay up late or do as Susanna Wesley did. Do you know Susanna Wesley had 19 children, ladies? 19, okay? She had 19 children, and early in her life, she vowed that she would never spend more time in leisure entertainment than she did in prayer and Bible study. In fact, even amid the most complex and busy years of her life as a mother, she scheduled 2 hours every day for fellowship with God and time in His Word, and she adhered to that schedule faithfully. One person tells us the challenge of finding a place of privacy in a house filled to overflowing with children was kind of, you know, it was hard, right? 19 children. Mother Wesley's solution to this was to bring her Bible to her favorite chair, throw her long apron up over her head, forming a sort of a tent. This became something akin to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle in the days of Moses in the Old Testament. Every person in the household, from the smallest toddler to the oldest domestic helper, knew well to respect this signal. When Susanna was under the apron, she was with God and was not to be disturbed except in the case of the direst emergency. There in the privacy of her little tent, she interceded for her husband and children and plumbed the depth of mystery of God in the Scriptures. And this holy discipline equipped her with a thorough and a profound knowledge of the Bible, end of quote. 2 hours a day with 19 children. Ladies, we always take time to do what we really want to do. I know for myself, I make it my habit. I get up 2 hours before my first appointment of the day. That time to me has become valuable. I mean, I can't imagine life without it. And in fact, since I've become a believer, a genuine believer at the age of 30, I cannot recall one day that I have not spent time in the Word and in prayer. I can't live without it. I don't know how people do. And so and you know, I find the Lord always, I mean, even times that Debbie and I have to catch a 5 o'clock flight, we haven't catched many of them this year because of COVID, but sometimes we have to be at the airport at 4:30 or 5, and I'll still set my alarm. If it's 4:30, I'm up at 2:30, and I'll text her, I'll say, I'm getting up at 2:30, so because I want that time. It's important to me, and you know what I find out? If you seek God and His kingdom first, all this stuff is added unto you. I don't know how sometimes it happens, but it does. God is not a liar. And ladies, if you put Him first, all these things will be added unto you. And I cannot imagine life without spending time in the Word and in prayer. The fourth thing that will help you in being disciplined is cultivate daily habits. Cultivate daily habits. Ladies, you have habits, right? How many of you brushed your teeth today? I hope so. Don't come talk to me. No, I'm just kidding. If you didn't brush your teeth, I brushed mine before I came. Brush your teeth You know, I used to wear contacts. One of the things I discovered during COVID-19, I don't need contacts anymore. My eyes get better and better every year, the eye doctor says. I think I'm some kind of freak. But anyway, I quit wearing them because we were just in the house all the time, and I finally said, I don't need them anymore. I don't need contacts. So I gave them away. But we all have habits, right? Brushing our teeth, putting our contacts in, putting eye makeup on, reading the news, exercising. I try to walk every day when I can. But what about cultivating disciplines of reading your Bible, studying the Bible, memorizing the Bible, praying? What about that? Again, it might mean doing what Jesus did. Remember what it says in Mark 1:35? He rose up a great while before day. To what? To meet with his Father. Also, we have one account in Luke where he stayed up all night and prayed, right? So that's maybe what it will take. Or it might be saying no to something you really want to do. Do you ever do that? Say, no, I don't think I want to, I'll do that today. I need to spend time with the Lord. I need to be in his word. I need to be in prayer. Ladies, we would not think going a day without cleaning our teeth, or at least I hope you wouldn't. So why would you think about going a day without cleaning your soul through the word of God and prayer? Jesus said in John 15:3, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And just a helpful hint, I know some of you are saying, wow, you know, my days are so busy, I can't even imagine, Susan, putting anything else in them. Just a helpful hint, when considering this principle about cultivating daily habits, many times we can be praying, we can be memorizing scripture, while we're exercising. Have you ever thought about that? Listen to the word of God. I usually am reviewing scripture when I'm walking, putting on makeup. You know, sometimes my husband says, I wish these ladies could see you. You know, here you are, you're exercising, working on your verses, and drying your hair all at the same time. So, you know, hey, you can do a lot of things at one time, right? Taking a shower, doing domestic things around the home, you know, doing the dishes, cleaning, cooking. Those are all times that you can be praying, working on scripture memorization, listening to scripture, listening to good sermons. Cultivate some type of daily habit. Next on our list of essentials is the eye. Important to understand proper hermeneutics. It's important to understand proper hermeneutics. Someone was just asking me out in the lobby about a certain Bible teacher. What did I think of her? And I said, I really don't know her very much. But I do think if, especially for all of us, not just teachers, but ladies, if you're going to study the Word of God, it's important that you understand proper hermeneutics. You must do it correctly. I would encourage you, do not study random verses. Verses out of their context lead to error. Reading devotional literature only will lead to error and spiritual anemia. Now, you might say, Susan, what is hermeneutics? That's like a big, scary word. It's not. Hermeneutics just means the method of interpretation. And so, ladies, when you come to the Word of God and you want to study, for those of you that are going to be studying the Sermon on the Mount this fall in this church, when you come to the Word of God, study it in its context. And one of the things I do, I'm teaching my ladies 1 Peter this year, but one of the things I do, I take a section of this first week we covered verses 1 to 2, and this next week we'll cover verses, I think, 3 to 7. So I take those verses, I put them in my Microsoft document, and I bombard that text with questions. It's like the inductive Bible study method. A lot of you have heard of that. Who, what, when, where, how. For example, if I was studying John 3:16, which is a verse we're all familiar with, and I put that in my computer, and I, you know, the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I put that verse in there. Ask questions like, who is God? Who is his Son? What does begotten mean? What does the world mean? What is everlasting life? When did God give his Son? How does a person believe in him? Why would a holy God love a sinful world? And on and on. Ladies, you would be surprised. I have a gal I'm discipling in another state, and I've been trying to get her to memorize, and she finally started memorizing, and now I'm trying to teach her this method, and she's doing 1 Peter and bombarding the text with questions, and I said, are you liking this? She goes, I'm loving it. And she's learning so much more than just casual Bible reading. She's really digging in and finding those spiritual nuggets for herself. Now, ladies, I just gave you a few questions for John 3:16, but do you know you could probably bombard that verse with over 100 questions and still not plumb the depth of the riches of John 3:16? That's the joy of Bible study. The more questions you ask, the more accurate your interpretation is, and then the more accurate your application. You know what we want to do? We want to pick up the Bible in the morning and go, okay, what does this mean to me, Lord? What do you have for me today? That's not how we do good Bible study. Who was it written to? What was the going on with the original audience? And what did it mean to the original audience, right? That's where we have to go first before we say, how then can I take these principles for my own life? After I do that, I usually look at the Greek and the Hebrew because, lady, it's very important that we understand words and their meanings. Words change over time. Most of us don't have the advantage of learning Greek or Hebrew. For example, when I was growing up, gay meant happy. You know, when I was growing up, gay, you know, if, hey, I'm gay, well, that meant I was happy. But now if you say I'm gay, that means you're gay, you're homosexual or a lesbian. But that's quite a change in the meaning of the word, right? And so it's important that we don't just look at the words in Scripture and say, oh, that's what it means. We need to go back to the Greek and the Hebrew. And there are some good study helps out there. If you want me to later, I can tell you. I would encourage you, don't just pull up your favorite commentator. Don't just listen to your favorite preacher. Do the work yourself, because even commentaries disagree. This one says this one says this, and guess what? And this one says something completely different. But there's one interpretation. The Holy Spirit meant one thing. And I'll tell you the fun thing, being a student of the Word and studying God's Word, is when I come to a conclusion and I was like, wow, I hadn't seen that before. And then I pull up a commentary like, oh, they came to the same conclusion I did. And all right, you know, and it's like, well, what, duh, you have the same Holy Spirit, right, that leads us into all truth. But ladies, to discover that for yourself is something you won't forget. You won't forget it when you study it yourself. Now, that's just a verse. If you're studying a whole chapter, you might ask questions like this. What is the principal subject of this chapter? What's the main point of this chapter? Who are the persons in this chapter? What does this chapter teach concerning Christ? What example is there for me to follow? Is there an error for me to avoid? A command for me to obey? A promise to claim? A prayer for me to echo? Ladies, if you've never done effective Bible study, there's two good books I would recommend for you. One of them is by Howard Hendricks, who's gone home to be with the Lord, but he had a series called Living by the Book that was about 19 or 20 videos you could watch. It comes along with a Bible a study guide that is excellent. I took my ladies through that probably 30 years ago so they could learn how to do inductive Bible study. A shorter one is The Joy of Discovery, The Joy of Discovery by Olita Wald. Olita Wald. It's a very short book, but she gives you great Bible study skills that will help you gain deeper insights into the Word of God. Ladies, we are commanded by God to study. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many today, in our circles even, are wrongly dividing the word of truth. And we need to be good students of God's word and rightly divide it. Now, something that is imperative but often neglected is the P, that is pray before, during, and after your study time. Pray before, during, and after your study time. And ladies, it goes to say we should be praying without ceasing, right? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Before you open your Bible and read it or study it, do you ever just say, Lord, what the psalmist says, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law? Open my eyes, Lord. Pray during your study time that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, as Jesus promised in John 16:13. Thank God after your Bible study time for the things that he's taught you. One of the things that I have found very helpful in my daily Bible reading is to write out a prayer to the Lord based on what I've read that day. That helps me to keep focused as I'm reading his word in the morning, and then I write out a prayer. In fact, Maggie, who taught me golf lessons this year, when we get together, we read our prayers to each other. Read through the Bible together usually every year, and we write out prayers, and we pray for one another, and we write out prayers to the Lord, and we read them to one another, and it's very encouraging based on the things that we have read. Ladies, we learn what? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Now, speaking of prayer, it's imperative you spend time in prayer every day. Ladies, you should be communing with the Lord throughout the day. But I would also encourage you to set a special time aside to be with the Lord and pray. For me, that time has become the same time that I read his word. I will say this, I have found many things helpful in my prayer time. I often journal my prayers. I like to do that. I like to write out prayer requests, and the reason that I enjoy doing that helps me stay focused, but also it gives me, I look forward to the next day when I open my journal and I read the things that I've asked the Lord for, and I see how he's answered, and it's so exciting. And sometimes I put a little smiley face like, yeah, he answered that one, and then kind of a straight face, well, that one wasn't so good, but I'm going to keep praying about it. But it's fun. And you know what? It encourages me to pray. It encourages, when I see God answer prayer on a daily basis, it encourages me to keep praying. We have not because what? We don't ask. And ladies, we need to keep knocking, right? I also use the Valley of Vision, which is a book of Puritan prayers that I absolutely love, that helps me stay focused on the eternal and not on temporal prayer requests for others. I love to use the Word of God when praying for other people. Sometimes I just open up to Psalm 119, that long psalm that is rich, just basically talking about God's Word, and I'll pray those verses for different people that I want to pray for. Psalms are excellent. I hope you use God's Word when you pray. Ladies, you can't go wrong. You know that you're praying in God's will if you use his Word when you pray for others. And I have a prayer journal. Like I said, I have certain people I pray for every day. I've divided our church directory up, and everybody in my church gets prayed for on some certain day. I pray for my husband every day. I pray for my two children every day. I have 7 grandchildren, so that works out very nicely because there's 7 days in a week. So one grandchild gets prayed for on a certain day. I have 5 siblings, one that's not with, probably in hell, but there used to be 7 of us. So I do pray for the 5 siblings that are still living, and most of them do not know the Lord. I pray for the 2 ladies that disciple me, and boy, do they need it. And I also pray for all the women I disciple, and I just find that it's a joy to be able to do that and to ask God for specific things. I pray for our president. I hope you're praying for our nation right now. Ladies, we better be praying for our nation. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem because that's a command in Scripture. And so really the list is endless. Now, I will say this regarding your discipline as far as your prayer time. I know several years ago, one of the ladies who disciples me, she challenged me to pray for an hour a day. And I was like, an hour a day? Okay. And so I was a new Christian. And so I did. And, you know, after a couple of months of this, I was like, I'm pretty spiritual, an hour a day, you know? And I started thinking, you know what? That is legalistic. And I started feeling like it was almost a forced thing. And then I started studying the Bible and realizing that some of the most beautiful prayers in all of Scripture are like 3 minutes. Have you ever looked at John 17, the high priestly prayer? I actually said that out loud one time. It took me 3 minutes. I was like, man, Jesus said more in those 3 minutes than I've said on an hour, you know? And so, you know, don't get caught up in the time, but just be praying throughout the day, but do set a time, set aside some time during the day to pray about those things that are on your heart. But I do say pray for the eternal. Try not to get bogged down in temporal. Another thing I found very helpful and meaningful time in the Word and prayer is music. I tell you, one of the things I've really enjoyed about COVID-19 is because I'm not a depressed person at all. I don't get depressed very often. But I found myself some days being overwhelmed with just everything. And I've talked to a lot of pastors' wives and Christians just in the last few months, and they say, I feel oppressed. And I said, well, let me tell you what I've done. I've started putting on my favorite Pandora station in the morning when I sit down to start reading the Bible. And I said, just having praise music, worship music, I said, it's really lifted my spirits. And ladies, music is really the window of our soul, right? And so you might try that. It's a great way to communicate with the Lord through music. The next, and the L on your acrostic, is this. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Ladies, depend on Him. Don't run so quickly to other sources. Wait on the Lord. Meditate on Scripture. Take time to be holy. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. You know, we don't like to be alone, do we? And we don't like quiet. I do. I love to be alone. I love quiet. Don't have much of it, but I love it. But we need to sit still, right? Be still. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. You know, that was one of the things Jesus promised, is the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. You know, sometimes in the Reformed circles, we forget about the Holy Spirit. We don't like to talk about Him. But ladies, He's an important part, right? He's the one that's inside of you, and you're sealed. I'm sorry, He's with you until the day of redemption. And He played a major role in your salvation, right? According to Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing and the regeneration of what? The Holy Spirit. And so He is a part of us. When did we forget? He's our counselor. He's our comforter. He's our instructor. He's the one that convicts us of sin, right? You know, we often run to Google, right? Or to a friend, or a spouse, or a commentary, or our favorite website, or our favorite preacher before we run to Him. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Ladies, He's a huge part in your sanctification. I like 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror of the glory, are changed, what? From glory to glory, even as what? By the Spirit of the Lord. He's a part of your sanctification process. And so you want to stay in tune with Him. Well, also, if you want to have a deeper time in the Word, you must, the next I, increase in your knowledge. Increase in your knowledge. You don't have to answer this question except in the privacy of your heart. But do you know more about God and His Word today than you did last year? Is your prayer life richer and fuller this year than it was last year? Should be, right? We should be increasing in our knowledge of God, right? Peter says in his epistle, the second epistle, for this reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, self-control. Self-control, what? Perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if you do these things, what? You will neither be barren or unfruitful, right? But he who has forgotten these things is short-sighted and is unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Ladies, you need to be increasing in your knowledge of Him. Don't just get by with status quo. Well, you know, I read a couple of verses today, Susan, or, you know, I sent a popcorn call to God, you know, 1 minute prayer. We want to be growing and excelling. In fact, Peter even writes in his second epistle, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of Paul's prayer to the church at Colossae was that they would be growing and increasing in knowledge, and they did be. They needed to, because they were inundated with false teachers, the Gnostic teachers of their day. And Paul says, you better be growing in the knowledge of this book right here, because the false teachers are after you. And ladies, they're after you today as well. And they are abounding. As Jesus says, as we get closer to the end of the age, false Christs and false prophets are going to rise, and if possible, deceive the very elect, right? We know it's not possible, but boy, they're going to try. They're going to try to deceive you. Ladies, we need to be increasing in the knowledge. I know women who will spend hours listening to and reading religious garbage, but refuse to spend that same amount of time with the authoritative, holy, sufficient, inspired Word of God and its author, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies, this is the book we need to be mastering, right? Once you get this book mastered, then you can go to other stuff. But I don't know anybody that has this book mastered, do you? And so that's why I don't know why people gravitate to other stuff. Like, get this book mastered, and then maybe. But you won't have time. An attitude I pray none of us have is this. This is the N on your acrostic. Never think you've arrived. Never think you have arrived. Ladies, this will be a killer in Bible study. It will be a killer in your Bible study and prayer. Once you open your Bible, you say, I know that. I've read that. I've memorized that. I don't need to pray about this anymore. I've prayed about that enough. Once you start having that attitude, you will fail. If you ever think your spiritual life has reached its potential, you are in danger. You're in danger. Pride goes before destruction, right? And destruction before a fall. If you ever think you're above your peers in knowledge and spiritual maturity, beware, beware. What does Paul say? Those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise, right? Ladies, each of us in this room, we're running our own race, right? And we are not to be looking at each other, those behind us, those in front of us, even those aside of us. We're to be looking what? To Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's who that's where we're running for, right? That prize. And so we don't compare ourselves among ourselves. And so don't ever think that you have arrived. And ladies, if you glory, you better glory in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like Herod, who took all the glory for himself, and then all of a sudden he was eaten of worms and died. That sounds like a gross way to die, doesn't it? So we want to be sure that we never think we've arrived. Now, included in this principle would not only be the caution for pride, but also, ladies, admit when you're wrong. Do you ever admit when you're wrong? You know, I've been studying and teaching the Bible now for over 30-some years to ladies. And you know, some of my views have changed as I've dug a little deeper or thought a little more on a passage or memorized scripture in its context. Ladies, admit when you're wrong. Don't be afraid to say, you know what, this is what I used to believe, but after more study and understanding of scripture, I've come to this conclusion. Ladies, remember, it's not about being right. It's about rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So admit when you're wrong. The last important principle is this, the E. Endeavor to use what you're learning. Endeavor to use what you're learning. Paul tells young Timothy in 1 Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Ladies, as you're learning and growing, you need to be passing on what you're learning to someone else. Grab another lady, start discipling her, pass it on to your children, pass it on to your grandchildren. Pass it on to someone in your church. Maybe teach a Sunday school class. Have a Bible study in your home. As you do, as you're learning these things from God's Word, as you pass them on, the truths will become more implanted in your own mind. And by the way, as you pass on what you're learning, make sure you're living out what you're learning. Make sure you're living it out. You know, the Bible says, my brethren, be not many teachers. Why? Knowing you will receive a stricter judgment. And so, you know, some of us formally teach, some of us informally teach. But either way, if you're not living out what you teach, you shouldn't be teaching it, right? Because there's going to be a judgment there. And by the way, if study and prayer don't change the way you live, then you need to evaluate why, right? How come all this Bible study isn't changing me? Why isn't my prayer life changing me? Knowledge without a changed life is just knowledge. It's just knowledge. And the same truth would be for your prayer life. Endeavor to use what you're learning in prayer. What is God teaching you as you pray? Are you sharing with others? Are you letting people know when God answers your prayers? Guess what God did, you know? I prayed about this, and the Lord was so gracious, and he answered my prayer, and he even did above and beyond what I could even imagine. Talk about it. If you're praying more, and yet God is not answering any of your prayers, then something's not right. If God isn't answering your prayers, something's not right. Because it pleases him, right? It pleases him. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask them, right? You have not because you ask not. And sometimes we're asking because we want to receive it for our own selves, right? And James talks about that. Well, let's wrap up everything that we have learned. I want to ask questions. So, how can we discipline ourselves in the Word and prayer? First thing, desire the Word and delight in the Word. Do you have an appetite for the Word of God? If not, why not? What is taking away your appetite? Is your time in the Word and in prayer a delight or a dread? Do you pant for God like the deer pants for water? Can't wait to meet with him? Again, if not, why not? Are you certain you have a living relationship with the living God? Secondly, idols must be put away. What do you love, or whom do you love? Do you love that thing or that person more than God? What do you spend your day doing? Have you kept a time journal lately to see where your time goes, your energy, your monies? Remember, my friend, God will have no other idol before him. He is a jealous God when it comes to spending time with you. S, spend ample time. How much time do you spend in the Word in prayer on a daily basis? Are you under the myth that a chapter a day will keep the devil away, or a popcorn call to God will keep you from becoming a fraud? Are you willing to miss sleep or even a meal to have more time with God? What are you willing to give up for him? What's crowding your schedule that keeps you from having meaningful time with God? Seek, cultivate daily habits. What daily habits do you have in place right now? Brushing your teeth, putting your makeup on, exercising, eating. Oh yeah, we like to eat, don't we? Working, driving the kids to school or homeschooling. Have you cultivated a meaningful daily discipline of time with God? Are you willing to put your apron over your head for 2 hours to be with your Lord? Important to understand proper hermeneutics. Do you know the proper rules of interpretation? Do you involve yourself in serious Bible study? Or are you sloppy in Bible study? What are you currently studying? What are you currently memorizing? P, pray before, during, and after your study time, and of course, pray every day. Are you in the habit of praying when you study, read, or memorize? Do you realize you can't learn anything apart from the help of the Lord and the Holy Spirit? How has your prayer life been enriched this past year? Are you praying more, praying less? Are you praying more spiritual requests for others? Are you praying more temporal requests? Is talking to God a delight to you or a dread? L, let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Do you rush to other sources first to get help in answering your biblical questions, or do you pray and ask the dear Holy Spirit to help you as you study and read the Word? I, increase in your knowledge. Do you know more about God this year than last year? How has it changed the way you live? Has your prayer life matured in the past year? Does God answer your prayers on a regular basis? And then N, never think you've arrived. Do you secretly think you're more mature than others when it comes to Bible knowledge and prayer? Do you come to the Word with humility and a desire to know more? Is there room for improvement when it comes to your time of prayer? And then lastly, endeavor to use what you're learning. Who have you passed biblical truths on to this week? Are you involved in a ladies' Bible study or a discipling relationship where you can pass on the things that God's teaching you? Do you eagerly share with others how God is answering prayer in your life? Ladies, we would do well as women to remember a few things. One is what the Apostle Paul says, that we are to reject profane and old wives' fables, but rather exercise ourselves to godliness. Why? Because bodily exercise profits a little bit, but godliness is profitable for this life and the life to come, right? Women can get caught up in all kinds of womanly things. And I'm a woman, you know, I like to do womanly things too. But honestly, there's not a lot of profit in them, right? Really, there really isn't. We are to discipline ourselves to godliness. It's profitable for this life right now and the one that we're going to have in glory. Also, remember that you are each running your own race, right? You're not the lady next to you on the right side and the left. You're running a different, you're in a different place, and that's okay. Don't look to her. Look to Christ. Don't look to your husband. Don't look to others. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You know, Paul said he beat his body into subjection. Why? Lest he feared he be a castaway, an apostate. He disciplined himself to godliness, and so you and I are also. Well, my deepest desire is that you and I would discipline ourselves to godliness. Don't be conformed to the world. Ladies, don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. Don't do that. Don't be conformed to the world. Be conformed to the Word of God. I pray that you would have a delight and a drive for a meaningful relationship with God. It is written, "Seek the Lord your God and you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." Will you do that? I pray you will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are living in an age where study and discipline has really become archaic. We are the generation that wants sound bites. We want 20 seconds of this and 5 seconds of this, and we can't even read a paragraph and think through it because we are so distracted. We are the generation of being distracted. Lord, I pray for these ladies. I don't know them, but I pray that you would move in their hearts this evening, and Lord, they would have a hunger and a thirst and a desire to take time to spend with you, to be away from the busyness of the day, even if it means putting their apron over their head or going in the backyard or shutting themselves off in a room for an hour or 30 minutes just to be with you, Lord, that they would have a passion and a desire for that. Lord, I pray that our strength would be strong. We know the day of adversity is here, and we know your word says that we've got to be strong or we will fail. And so, Lord, we don't know what's on the horizon for us. It doesn't look good, but we want to be women that are ready, armed with Scripture for the days ahead, Lord, as we want to be an encouragement to those around us. So, Lord, I pray for these ladies, and I pray that you bring us back tomorrow as we look into your word and delve in it more carefully, as we consider worry and we consider how we can serve during these times of pandemic in our nation. Lord, I pray that you would give us rest this evening and refresh us as we come back tomorrow. Thank you for this church. Thank you for their willingness to house this conference, this two-day conference for these ladies. Bless them each, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.